Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short. I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short. I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
The quest to look good enough and to somehow be good enough can take us to some odd places. Growing up, our guest today found herself, as many have before her, in front of a mirror, counting each and every one of the individual pores on her face. It also took her into her Burbank, California yard from time to time, squeezing lemon juice into her hair and hoping that, coupled with the sunlight, would make her a bit more blonde, like her TV star and Saturday Night Live alum, Mom. But Scarlett Hilda Bidal discovered something along the way, that she was looking to the wrong authority all along. It was never about the mirror at all, but about the God who lovingly crafted her and what he had to say about who she really was. Scarlett's new book is called He Numbered the Pores on My Face, following up the tremendous title she penned this past winter, Afraid of All the Things. Greetings, Scarlett, and the warmest of returning welcomes to you. How are things progressing for you today, my friend?
They're great. Ryan, you're just delightful to talk to. I'm just so happy to talk to you again. That was so beautifully said, and I'm so happy to be back on here.
Well, thank you so much for your kindness. It was such a treat to talk to you before, and what I loved about your presentation and your message in the first book was how you talked about something that so many of us were facing and feeling, but you did it in a very entertaining way. It's disarming what you do, and that's exactly what you've done with this second book. So first of all, congratulations to you on the additional book.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, you don't get to see too many titles with a discussion of skin pores right there on the front cover, Scarlett. And there's some very clever and fun art as well there on the front cover of the book. But that had to be just a little bit fun just for you to make that happen in the first place, right?
It is fun. I maybe borderline regret having the subtitle use the phrase clogged pores because that's kind of gross, isn't it? I'm looking at it right now like, was that the right call? I don't know. It was really, really fun. It was fun. The artist she's so good. She also did Afraid of All the Things. I think her name is Kayla. I think it's in here somewhere. But yeah, it's been so much fun.
Well, you start out the book with two scenes. One plays out in front of your mirror. The next one with a variety of lemons in the yard as a young girl. And you are quite literally counting the pores on your face in the former and then attempting to dye your hair with sort of echoes of Anne of Green Gables with lemons and sunshine in the latter. A serious question in a second, but first I think we have to know how successful the lemon thing was.
I got very badly sunburned and it was very unsuccessful because I'm not like... I think I saw that in 17 magazine or something. And I think that that can work if you're naturally already blonde. But I like have this very dark eyes, dark hair, almost like Middle Eastern look going. So it really did not work for me. It didn't work out. I was very disappointed. And then after that, when I was allowed to dye my hair, I didn't really know how to. So it would kind of turn orange, and I think I make a joke in here about how I thought like the more orange my hair was, the closer it was to blonde, but that was not, that wasn't true. It was orange for a long time. Anyway, well, I'm brunette now.
you mentioned the magazine off the top. I mean, at that tender age, and how old are we talking here?
So in the editing process of this book, my editor, she'd be like, Scarlett, sometimes you're like, really insecure, like misfit outcast. And sometimes you sound like cocky cheerleader, you know? And I was like, well, that's because I was both. But I mean, I was being unclear in that first draft. Like I needed to specify this was the season for this and this was the season for that. But the age, you know, I talk about being 12 and 13 and I talk about being 18 and 19, but the hair thing, the lemon juice thing was probably like 13. And then the orange thing was probably like 16. These are important stories for the radio.
Actually, very evocative. It's theater of the mind kind of stuff right here, Scarlett, is what it is. But what was it even then? I mean, because you think of you think of the course of a life, I mean, what was it even then that made you think, you know, I do not look the way that I want to look?
I'm glad that you asked it that way. Oh, I mean, I'm 33 now and I still do it. I think we just all are wired with this tendency to fill our emptiness with something, right? Like we just want to not feel so alone and scared and insecure and unsafe. And so, you know, my first book was written for adults. This one's for teen girls. But the first one was about my fear and anxiety, because that's just the biggest battle I have faced and continue to face. Because as soon as I take my eyes off of the Lord, I'm just reaching for anything to feel okay, you know? So when I was a teenager, it was, I need to be beautiful. I need that football player, the most popular football player, to love me. And then I'll be happy and safe and feel like everything's okay. And so, you know, whether it was hair color or dating or, you know, whatever, a lot of those things that I was striving for, I didn't get them. But then a lot of them I did, like the football player asked me to the prom, and then I was his girlfriend, and then he gave me a promise ring, and it was, you know, it was like the whole thing. And it was never enough. It was never enough. And it's just, we all know that. And I think it was, I think I quoted Jim Carrey in my other book. He tweeted this, and he is not a believer. And he said, I hope something like, I hope everyone gets rich and famous and everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. So this book is about who we are in Jesus and how all those things that teen girls are going to strive for are not going to fulfill them.
Oh my, that is quite a quote. I had never heard that Jim Carrey quote before. My goodness.
Oh man, I know.
Wow. All right. Well, we're talking with Scarlett Hilte-Bidel today on the Road for Faith Radio. She's the author of Afraid of All the Things, Tornadoes, Cancer, Adoption, and Other Stuff You Need the Gospel For. And her brand newest book we're talking about today, geared especially to young women, is called He Numbered the Pores on My Face. And now if I don't do the subtitle, you're going to think that I don't like it. But that's not true. Please know that.
It's long. No, it's a long subtitle.
We had the opportunity to talk about the unique situation that you had growing up in the green room of Saturday Night Live. And you may have caught our interview with Scarlett in January, but you may not have too. So Scarlett, I'll ask you just to take us through a little bit, introduce us, the thumbnail sketch, as it were, of what your childhood looked like because, of course, of your mom, Victoria Jackson, being this tremendous comedian and an alum of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so she's my mom. And I was born to her and a magician fire eater. So it was a very unusual upbringing, I know, in hindsight. and it's so funny because I'm pretty regular with a pretty regular life day to day. And that whole life that I lived doesn't touch me very often. I was just telling the story the other night at this conference of John Lovitz, he was my favorite of the people my mom worked with on SNL. And he would come to our house and he would mix up my name with my cat's name on purpose. So he would call me Flippy and he would call my cat Scarlett. And I thought it was so funny. And then I went to see him do stand up in my town a few years ago. And I hadn't seen him since I was like 14. And I didn't even think he'd remember me. And as soon as I walked in to say hi to him, he was like, hello, Flippy. And so it's like, it's a weird thing because my life is so removed from that now. When I have these little touches of it, like, oh, that wasn't just the story I read. Like, that was really... I knew that guy when I was a little kid. I don't know. I didn't think it was cool. I wasn't starstruck. I was just a little kid interested in little kid things, you know, what's on the craft service table. My mom was a famous movie star, you know, so like I just kind of looked at her and I think it was an odd dynamic because most of the time, like I have three little girls and every time I go out in public with them, people are like, oh, your kids are so cute. But when you're the daughter of a famous movie star, people don't pay attention to you. They're like, are you Victoria Jackson? And they want your signature. So I was always like, kind of like, you know, observing the world, like, huh, you know, like she gets fawned over everywhere we go and she's blonde and she has blue eyes. And so I just kind of thought, well, if I'm blonde, if I can get blonder, then maybe, you know, I'll be happier.
Of course. No, it makes perfect sense. And that's why I wanted to make sure to ask that question is because you do talk about that. It's just a unique situation that you were in. There's speaking about unique situations. there's a story you include later in the book about finally feeling like you're in this fashion moment, right? Where you've got the right plastic headband going on to tame the hair situation. It's on trend. You walk into homeroom feeling good, and then this thorough meanness is uttered by your classmate, quote unquote, Kent, whose name has been changed to protect the innocent. Tell us a little bit about that one, would you?
Yeah, so Kent, he was just this kind of smart aleck guy, and I felt so confident, and it's not a really riveting story, but I just walked in feeling good, and he was like, Scarlett, you look like your hair got run over with a lawnmower, and, deflated, and one of those. I had a lot of those moments. We all did, I'm sure.
Well, that's why I think it's so relatable, because I think every single one of us has been there. But I couldn't help but smile. The disclaimer you put inside the front cover, quoting now, all names have been changed because no 33-year-old man needs to be called out in a book for telling me my hair looked like it got run over by a lawnmower 20 years ago. I forgive you, Kent. I fully forgive you.
Hey, I have to credit my editor, Michelle Burke, for that, because I said, hey, Michelle, can you put a disclaimer about the name change? And she was like, well, why don't you make a funny one? So that was her idea, to make that funny. And I actually looked that guy up, and I can't even find him on Facebook, so I have no idea what he's up to now.
Scarlett Hilton-Vidal, the book called He Numbered the Pores on My Face. So taking a step deeper into just how you apply your experience to girls today, Instagram filters were the first thing that really caught my attention because, all this time you're comparing yourself to these models in magazines and even to your mom on television. But girls now face not only the first part of that, but these images that have been digitally retouched and reshaped on Instagram from not only the models, but also their own classmates. This is just an incredible level of pressure. What does that look like as you begin to kind of take a closer look at it?
I know. I look around and I was part of that generation. Like, I remember pre-internet, I remember AOL going, that noise when you would sign on to AOL. So I remember before Instagram, and like you said, I would have to sit behind the girl with perfect hair at school and look at magazines. But now, even just like, not even with filters, like forget filters, just the fact that teenage girls can look at their classmates 24 hours, their perfect hair or whatever they're doing 24 hours a day, and all the models from the magazines, they can see what they're doing. I cannot imagine dealing with that, because I was overwhelmed as it was back in the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Seems pretty intense to me.
It absolutely does. Now, as we start to sort of walk this path with you of discovering and finding freedom, really, that's the way you describe it, that throughout your teen years, you just wanted freedom from this thought process. But in finding that freedom, faith was always something that was there in your life, right? Your mom was a believer, but where were you on the subject of God growing up, would you say?
Yeah, my mom was a believer and I was raised in the church. It's so funny. Someone asked me when I found freedom, because that's on the cover, Freedom From It All, like as a teenager. And I said, you know what? It's so sad. I did not find freedom as a teenager. I did come to Christ as a teenager. So I was 14 years old when I believed that I needed Jesus. I believed he was God. I believed he died for me. I believe his resurrection, broke death, proved that he was God, gave me access back to God. I believed that. But I had no experience walking with him yet. So I just kind of looked around and I was like, okay, good people read the Bible, I think. I would underline my Bible. And I think I just had this, I was like ingesting his word, misinterpreting it, being way more focused on the things around me than I was focused on him. And some of that is just being immature. I think that a lot of the things I write about here to help teen girls are things my parents told me. And I was just like, yeah, okay, Dad. But the linebacker asked me to the prom, that's what's important right now.
Yes.
I think it's important for, I have three daughters, like I said, and I tell them the truth, but I hope that they are also hearing the truth from adults who write books or adults who we go to church with. And, I wasted so many years being focused on the wrong things and I could have saved a lot of heartache and had peace and joy a lot sooner had I learned to fight against the natural tendency to look at what's around me.
Of course.
Look at the cross.
Oh, yeah. What was it for you? What were the powerful ways that God really reached into your life? And because I so identify with exactly what you're saying. You hear it. Mm. You want to believe it. You know that in a sense you do believe it. But what was it that God used to really make you believe? No, this is who you are. It has nothing to do with any of this other stuff.
I think it was a really long process for me because even thinking about it, like I can't think about the moment. Like I don't think I had a moment. I mean, it's still happening. I still fight to have freedom from my sin, you know. But, I'd say, so 14, I became a Christian. And then I got into this eating disorder struggle pretty, you know, just a few years after that. I was such a perfectionist in every area. And then that kind of took over and I kind of abandoned my desire to be perfect and became consumed with my desire to be beautiful and skinny. And I touched on it in my first book, but I have a whole chapter about the whole eating disorder thing in this book. And I just wrote about the lies I believed and how, you know, I did. I got really, really skinny and I was the most miserable that I had ever been. And I thought I was going to die.
Really?
And I would say if I had to like pick a moment where this whole identity issue started to be resolved, I would say it was when God gave me freedom from the eating disorder because it was so him. It's a really long story, but just a little snapshot is he kept directing me in his word to Proverbs 28:13, which says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but if you confess, you receive mercy." And by the time he was putting that verse in my face, because I was already a believer, like I said, I was so deep in my deceit. I mean, it had just made me into a liar, and I wasn't that type of person, but I was trying to hide that I was throwing up all the time. And I, you know, was growing up, and I was 19, and I was engaged to a pastor, and I was working at a church. So I was like, God, confess. I can't confess this. Like, I'll lose everything. And so I disobeyed him and did not confess it. And so I was just begging him for freedom. He wouldn't give it to me. And then when I finally did confess, he healed me. And that was 11 years ago. I remember the exact date. It was September 11th, 2008. Is that 11 years? I'm bad at math.
It is.
Yeah,
good
right?
job.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
yes.
job.
So yeah, he gave me freedom. And it was one of those things where I always preface that story saying there's things I have prayed for years that God hasn't answered the way in the miracle that I hoped for or prayed for in, you know, or I'm still waiting on for him for things to change. But in that instance, I know that it was disobedience. And I know that when I obeyed, he said, okay, I'm healing you, because I was so stuck in it. I couldn't stop. And the day I confessed, it was over and I had no desire to be dysfunctional anymore with food. And so that was a huge moment. And that was when I kind of started evangelizing like crazy, like a new believer, even though I'd been a believer for years. It was like, it actually started to change the way I lived. So
Man,
that's that story.
That's incredible. That is an incredible story right there. Scarlett Hilta Vital is with us today. She's the author of Afraid of All the Things, Tornadoes, Cancer, Adoption, and other stuff you need the gospel for. And her brand newest work, geared especially to young women, is called He Numbered the Pores on My Face. Hottie lists, clogged pores, eating disorders, and freedom from it all. This paragraph really struck me right in the introduction, and I think it so well describes the place that you've come to and the fact that it's a process and a walk and not you know, a 10-step program to perfection. This is what you say. Listen, I'm still not pretty enough or accomplished enough or popular enough for my heart to be happy. And I don't think I've ever really found self-esteem. Peace doesn't come because I learned to love myself. There are plenty of reasons not to love me, but you know what? I am loved. I found that just tremendous. I mean, Is there anything to add to that that you have? I mean, that pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Thank you so much. It makes me so happy that you are not a teen girl and that it says it still encouraged you, you know?
Yes.
Man, yeah, I mean, I have to remind myself of that reality. Thank you.
The thing of it is, and you make the observation that I'm not a teen girl, and you are in fact correct in that. But this topic of self-worth, I mean, it resonates with every single one of us on some level. And I really thought about, my mom was reminding me just recently of my junior high self and just how fixated I was on trying to wear the right brand of shirt, right? Or the right basketball shoes. So just maybe my peers would accept me. And I remember so clearly she and dad and what I'd hear at church saying, it's not about stuff. It's not about stuff. You know, it's not about how you look. Your worth is in Jesus. And part of me always knew that it was true, but there was this other part of me that just did not totally believe it. And just thinking through that led me to this question for you. Do you think there's anything that we can do to help our daughters, our sons, our nieces and nephews really believe that is the truth?
Wow. That is a good question. It's a scary question. I think that, you know what? So I told you a few minutes ago that I didn't listen to my parents. And then I think most teenagers have a phase where they don't listen to their parents.
No.
I think it's really, I know. I think it's really, really powerful to live what you believe as an adult. Because like we just said, we are adults and we still struggle. And when I was writing this book, I was like, these things are still my things. Like, it looks a little bit different, but I still struggle with these same things that I struggled with when I was 13 years old. So, you know, I know my daughters are looking to me to know what it's like to live and be a grown up. And if I live my life trying to fit in with cool people or rich people or, you know, whatever, if I'm looking to the world, if I'm spending so much time on my appearance and not spending time serving people, you know, serving people that are not like me, then my daughters are going to be seeing that. And my husband is going to be seeing that. My friends are going to be seeing that. And I know that iron sharpens iron and God uses all of us, no matter what age, whether we're a teen girl or a mom reading a teen girl book or a man reading a teen girl book, he uses all of us to remind each other to look at him. And so I think it's just really important as the older people who know that there are younger people watching us to live what we believe, not to earn anything, because, you know, like you just read from the book, like, we are loved. We can't earn, our righteousness is filthy rags. We can't earn the love of Christ, but we just have it. So when we can just remember that and live with that in the front of our minds, I think it does. I know it does. It changes the way we live. It changes what we put our time into and what we put our money into, and our kids see it.
Oh, so well said. And such an amazing message here. I can't believe we're already 24 minutes into this conversation, but I do not want to go anywhere without asking. The book, He Numbered the Pores on My Face. The first book, of course, was called Afraid of All the Things. Where can we go to pick up a copy of the book, first of all, Scarlett, and then to follow along with your ministry and all the great things you have to say?
Thank you so much. You know, does anyone ever tell you this? You have like a smile in your voice. Does anyone ever tell you that?
I have heard that a time or two, but it's lovely to hear it again.
So great to talk to you. Sorry, I'm not answering your question. But
No, okay. Please. That's very kind. Thank you so much for that.
It's true. Okay, you can find me. My name is so, I know this is radio. My name is so hard to spell. You could go to scarletthiltonbible.com. Good luck. Or you can go to afraidofallthethings.com. But both of these books are wherever books are sold. So wherever you like to shop, go shop for
and
books.
I should also mention as well, it's been fun to follow you on social media and keep up with you since our first interview with you in January of 2019. And you're also very funny. People should know that. These are serious topics, but if you want to follow her online, the entertainment value is very high as well. I will spell Hiltabeitel, because somebody might want to go that route. And here's how you spell Hiltabeitel.
Well, let me spell my first name first, because more people get my first name wrong probably than my last name.
Oh, of course.
Scarlett is S-C-A-R-L-E-T, like the color, not two T's like Scarlett O'Hara. So Scarlett with one T. And then Hiltabeitel is Hiltibeidal.
There it is. And one more time, the newest book, He Numbered the Pores on My Face. What an absolute treat. Thank you so much for making the time to come back. It was just a tremendous thing to talk to you again, Scarlett.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Always love talking to you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.